Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Muthoot Microfin Limited Q4 FY 2024 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be on listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Bhise from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Manuja. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 4Q and FY 2024 earnings conference call of Muthoot Microfin Limited. First of all, I would like to thank the management of Muthoot Microfin for giving us the opportunity to host the call. From the management team today, we have Mr. Thomas Muthoot, Managing Director; Mr. Sadaf Saeed, Chief Executive Officer; Mr. Praveen T, CFO; Mr. Udish Ullas, COO; and Mr. Rajat Gupta from Investor Relations. As always, we will have opening comments from the management team, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. With that, now I would like to hand over the floor to Mr. Sadaf Saeed, Chief Executive Officer, for his opening comments. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sameer. Good morning, everyone. I welcome you to the first Q4 call after the listing for every investor. I think this is the first earnings call after closure of the full financial year. We had a very successful financial year 2024. We had a robust listing of our stocks. We raised around 960 crore of capital through the IPO, of which 760 crore were primary. I would like to inform all the investors and listeners here that the whole of this money has been deployed for business purposes, and we have used this money to expand our business and disburse more loans. Financial year 2024 was a landmark year for Muthoot Microfin, not only because of the IPO, but we achieved many milestones which were a first. This year, we recorded ever-highest number of disbursements in a single financial year. We disbursed 10,661 crore worth of loans. This is an improvement of 32% year-on-year. Last year, we disbursed around 8,104 crore worth of loans, and this has been growing because of our expansion of the businesses. We have added 336 branches this financial year. Our branch count has reached to 1,500 branches covering 19 states. We have added 336 branches, which is around 111 branches more than our average 225 branches that we add every year. So we have used this money to upfront the cost and investment and ensure that the business continues to grow. In this financial year, we have also entered in Telangana. We have opened branches there, and we have increased our footprint in states that we had entered last year: Uttarakhand, Himachal, as well as the existing market space where we are a number one player: Kerala, Tamil Nadu, and other locations where we have branch operation in north and east and west. As a result, our asset under management grew by 32%. We have closed the financial year with an asset under management of 12,194 crore worth of AUM, which was 9,208 crore last financial year. So it's a robust growth of 32% in terms of asset under management. We have grown by expansion of our branch network and also increasing our customer base. We have added around 6.5 lakh customers this financial year. Our customer count has reached to 3.35 million. This is a growth of around 21% over the last year customer base. At the same time, with the growth, the portfolio quality remains very robust. We have reported a GNPA of 2.29% and net NPA of 0.35%. This is an improvement of around 60 basis points over the last financial year. We had last financial year GNPA of 2.97% and net NPA of around 60 basis points. So we have an improvement of 25 basis points on the net NPAs also. Our collection efficiency remains robust of 98.4%. This is an improvement of 260 bps over the last financial year, where our collection efficiency was 95.8%. And our credit costs are in line with our projection. We have reported a credit cost this financial year of 1.7%. And while reporting at this, we continue to maintain very robust provision on our assets. Our provision coverage remains around 85%. And we believe that our portfolio that we have originated post-COVID is performing really, really well. Overall, our GNPA is 2.29%, but the portfolio that we have originated post-COVID, GNPA is 1.77%. And we believe in the coming quarters, definitely this will, the asset quality will continue to improve. During the financial year, we have also raised around 9,200 crores worth of loans. Even though our cost of fund has gone up by around 24 bps, we have closed this financial year at cost of fund of 11.23. But this is mainly because of two reasons. One is on the floating rate borrowing that we have done, there is revision of rate. And the second impact is more on the withholding tax structure that is now applicable. So there is an additional cost because of which. But all of this withholding tax, there are close to 500 crore worth of borrowing which are maturing. So this cost will rationalize. Also, the impact of the entire fundraise that we have done in the last financial year, 760 crores of capital, which will have an impact on this financial year. If you look at our incremental cost of fund, it is around 10.39%, which is an improvement over the last quarter by around 2 bps. But this will definitely continue to go down. We had also closed a very, very landmark deal of external commercial borrowing of around $75 million, which translates to around 622 crore. This provides us with a very effective cost of fund and also a long-term availability of debt. These funds are available for us for more than 3 years, so that also helps us to have a better asset liability mix in our portfolio. Overall, the performance of the company is improving rapidly. Our cost-to-income ratios have come down from 51% last financial year to 45.5% this financial year. Our operating cost is also rationalizing from 6.16% last year. It has come down to around 5.97%. There would be further rationalization of this cost because we have upfronted an investment of 336 branches this financial year. That branches, once they leverage and increase the portfolio, definitely the OPEX will come down. Apart from that, we continue to focus on digital collections. 100% of our disbursement is digital, but at the same time, through our Mahila Mitra app, we are promoting digital collection. Last year, we had collected for the full financial year around 20% of our collection in digital format. This year, we have collected around 26% of our collection in digital format, which is an improvement of 30% over the last financial year. And incrementally, if we look at almost 30% month-on-month, our collection is coming in digital format. And this has a lot of advantages in terms of reducing the operating cost and also ensuring that there is a less amount of fraud, manipulation, or any sort of mishandling of collections. Overall, this year has been very robust, not only ever highest number of disbursement, largest kind of ever highest number of opening of branches, acquisition of customer. We have reported the highest ever profit in the history of Muthoot Microfin. We have reported a profit for the full financial year of 449 crores. This is in line with our projection. If we include the total comprehensive income or other comprehensive income, then the total comprehensive income is 463 crores, which is well above our projections of around 450 crores. As a result, our ROAs have reached to 4.2%. This is almost 203 bps of improvement over the previous financial year, where our ROAs were around 2%. And we are reporting an ROE of 20.3%. this is a kind of an impact of the capital base. Definitely this ROE will continue to improve as we continue to grow. In the coming year, we estimate our growth to be in the excess of 25%, and we will definitely ensure that our NIMs, which have improved to around 12.7%, will continue to improve between 12.7% to 12.9%. And our operating cost will further rationalize by 20 basis points. So we are at 5.97%. It will be around 5.7 to 5.75%. And our focus on the credit quality and our investment in the field in terms of our underwriting will remain. The use of technology that we are doing for underwriting a credit scorecard, not only looking at the field at the underwriting, but also using technology, which has helped us to improve our portfolio quality and focus on the low risk and very low risk customers, will continue to help us to keep maintain a healthy portfolio quality, and the credit cost will remain in the same range of 1.7%. We estimate that our ROAs will improve in the coming financial year. Definitely it will reach to the level of around 4.3 to 4.5%. And ROE will continue to be at 20% above. I think that's all from my side. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sanidhya from Unicorn Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is on ROAs and ROE. So what is the long-term guidance, like 2-3 years down the line we are taking for that?
So traditionally, Aradhya, we have reported around 4.5% of an average ROA. If you look at pre-COVID period, definitely I think we are hitting that range. And in the coming years, so we believe that we can easily achieve around 4.5% ROA. And that will continue to be there for a longer period.
Sure, sir. And currently, I think our leverage is around 4.5%. to 5x. So what is the guidance there? So I don't think there is much space for more leverage, right?
No. So if we look at the leverage post the capital infusion, we are 4 times levered. In our business, there is an opportunity to do direct assignment and securitization, and also we are looking at a co-lending partnership. So definitely we can leverage the capital much more. We have traditionally levered ourselves to around 5 times, but that is what we feel is a comfortable level. But beyond 5 also, through direct assignment and also through PTCs and through co-lending partnership, we can continue to grow.
Okay, and last question is, on the side of branch extensions in the northern part of the country, so basically, you have expanded your branches in Uttarakhand and I think Uttar Pradesh as well.
Yes.
So what are we seeing, like how is the traction in this belt rather than what has been for us in southern belt? It has been robust there, but how is we are taking here in the northern end?
Yeah, I think it's a part of our diversification strategy. So we had a long-term strategy of having 50% in our core market, which is Kerala, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, and 50% from rest of the country. Currently, around 23% is contributed by north, and around 12% is contributed by west, and rest is contributed by east. We will continue to expand in other locations, which allows us to acquire more new to Muthoot customers. If you look at in the current mix, we have around 48% disbursement which is going to new to Muthoot customers and 52% which is going to the existing customer. We feel that's a healthy mix. We will continue to have that. And these branches in North are doing well. They are growing at a much better pace as compared to South, and the portfolio quality as of now has been pretty robust.
Yeah, just I wanted to know how much has been the like average time period for the which the loans have been distributed, and how is the credit cost looking in these areas?
So credit cost at the moment is relatively lesser. We are incrementally, if you look at, is around 1.2% overall in the newer branch in the northern states, if you look at, and that has also been seasoned. So because we have been in north for almost 5 years now. So with the 5 years vintage, having COVID and everything, still the credit cost is at 1.2%. And overall, I think the growth is the main kind of contributor. We are able to acquire new customers and grow there. Once we open a branch, it takes around 9 to 10 months for us to reach to a break-even period. And post that, it started contributing to the bottom line.
Yeah, so like we have been like for quite long in North, so now we are expecting that this market share from North-South to be much more balanced than what it was earlier, like because we are almost ready for our robust growth in North as well, right?
Yeah, so our long-term strategy is that we will continue to be market leaders in South. We are number one in NBFC MFI in Kerala. We are among the top three players in Tamil Nadu. We'll continue to do that. At the core market, we will retain our customers and have a deeper wallet share with our customers. But at the same time, we will continue to grow in northern states. So if you look at the mix, a long-term strategy is to have 50% in South and 50% in rest of the country.
What is the average ticket size compared in North versus South?
Average ticket size in overall is around 57,000, and in South it is around 60,000, and in North it's around 48,000.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidhesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Can you share some details on this Equifax scorecard? Where we tag the customer as very low risk, and medium risk, and how is the, let's say, some asset quality indicators in each of these buckets?
Yeah, so I think this has been a unique feature for our business operation. We have worked with Equifax and developed a scorecard. We have evaluated the entire 6.5 crore customer base of microfinance and identified around 40 parameters which have an impact on the portfolio, and we have given weightage to each of these parameters. Based on that, there is a score which is given to each and every customer, and based on the score, we categorize the customer into four different buckets, which is very low risk, medium risk, and high risk. Our focus is on low risk and very low risk customers. So if you look at 97% of our disbursement has gone to low risk and very low risk customers only. Only 3% has gone to medium risk, which are existing customers. So that has really helped us to improve our portfolio quality. In low risk customers, very low risk customers, NPA is only 0.41%. In low risk customer is 0.7%. And in medium risk, it is around 1.2%. But overall, if you look at our NPAs have really, really come down because of use of this scorecard. And incremental lending, whatever we are doing, overall NPAs is 1.77%.
Sure. Can you give PAR 30 data for this quarter and last quarter?
Yeah, If you look at in our stage 1, stage 2, stage 3 bucket, 96.6% of our assets are in stage 1, that is 0 DPD. And stage 2, anything which is 0 plus to up to 90 bucket is around 1.06%. And stage 3 is 2.29%.
Okay. Sure. And how should we think about the yields that we are charging to the customer, given that there is a lot of noise around a need to reduce the yields on the microfinance loans from the regulator? How do you see the trajectory of yields for us in coming year?
No, I think that's a very important question that you have asked, Nidesh. Our yields on the portfolio remain robust, even though we have, after the last quarter's call, we had reduced our interest rates. We had reduced our interest rate by 55 bps, but our net interest margin remained robust. We are reporting at 12.7% of net interest margin. And if you look at for the quarter standalone, the margins have improved to around 13.5%. Our incremental lending is at around 23.4 to 23.95%, so weighted average around 23.7. We have been able to command this net interest margin because of our reduction in incremental borrowing costs. So incremental borrowing cost has come down to around 10.39%. So that's why the yields are improving, and we feel that in the coming quarter, because the effect of the capital raise that we have done in the last quarter of the financial year or December will have a full year impact this year. So our yields will improve further. And also there is an advantage in terms of borrowing money through ECB, which is long-term money, which will also allow us to use this money for churning for a number of times on the loan, which will also improve our yields overall.
So we don't expect any further decline in yields going forward?
Even though we would be able to pass on the benefit to our customers, our yields, net interest margin will continue to improve.
Okay, sure. And sir, if you look at the client retention for us, that is very high at 90% plus. So how do we calculate this client retention, and what are the reasons why this number is so high?
So the client retention is calculated by numerator is the number of clients who are eligible for follow-on loan, and that's the denominator, and people who eventually take the loan are 94% out of them. So all the customers who get rejected because of credit bureau or they have some DROG, external DROG, that we exclude out of them, people who are not eligible. And people who are eligible for the loan constitute this whole database, and then out of that 94% avail this loan. And the reason for this is because we are actually customizing the product as per the customer's need, and also we are ensuring that the turnaround time to the customer is efficient. And we are using this Mahila Mitra app, which empowers the customers quite a bit. She is able to track her loan through the app. She can repay installment through the app. She can check her loan track record. She can register any complaint. Apart from that, we also provide additional services like medical insurance, and also a facility of e-clinic at the branch. Almost out of the 1,500 branch, 542 branches are having an e-clinic, where a family of five can go any number of time and have a consultation with a trained doctor. That service is provided at a nominal cost of 250 rupees per annum. Unlimited consultation, and we also provide generic medicine to the customer. So that really creates a pull. And we have interesting products for our customers, like we have MSGB, which is a gold-backed loan that the customer can avail. We have a Prayas loan for customers who are graduating to kind of higher category and higher loan that they want. So that really creates the pull. And of course, the service level at the Muthoot and the brand name generates its own kind of a pull for the customer.
Sure, sir. And so lastly, can you also share some data on Suvidha loan? What is the size of the book and incremental cost of sourcing this loan should be quite negligible for us. So as the share of Suvidha loan increases, should we expect improvement in cost to income ratio?
Yes, so definitely Suvidha loan would improve the cost to income ratio. We are also ensuring that the customer awareness is there in terms of using digital technology. So Suvidha loan disbursement that we have done is 150 crores, which is a nominal number for us for the last financial year. But this can definitely go up. But we want to make sure that the customer is fully aware of the technology that we are putting in place. That's why we are gradually increasing this. But in the long run, I definitely see that Suvidha loan, which is completely kind of a digital loan, which is taken through the app based on the customer's performance with us, will definitely help us reduce the cost of operation and reduce the turnaround time.
Sure, sir. Sure. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thanks, Amit.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Kaustubh Kakati from Premarica Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Syed. Congratulations on a very good set of numbers. So my question is mostly on, I think you had alluded to this the last time around also, this increasing regulatory scrutiny that has come about for most of the lending businesses. I think yesterday also we had seen some noise around the lending restrictions on some of these fintech companies. So just wanted to know, I mean, from the last quarter till now, has there been any further indication from the regulator on, you know, sort of trying to calibrate the maybe the lending growth or the yields or any sort of indication around that side?
No, thank you for asking that question, Kaustubh. Actually, regulator creating awareness and being a little bit more customer conscious is actually music to our ears for an organization and a group which is very customer conscious. We keep customers' interest at the top priority. So for us, I think it's good that RBI is putting in place frameworks to ensure that the customers' rights are protected. I should mention here that we are certified CPP at gold level of certification, which is the top level of customer protection principle. This is an international ranking. So we are very focused about ensuring that there is transparency, there is awareness, there is complete robustness in terms of sharing information with the customer. So something like a fact sheet, which RBI has implemented for the less of the lending industry, it was already prevalent in the microfinance space. And I'm happy to tell you that Muthoot Microfin is in full compliance of all the new regulation that has been put in place already. So for an organization like us, I think it works well. It augurs well because we believe in being transparent and being sincere towards our customers. So I think it should not impact our business operation. In fact, it should help us to reach out to more customers because some of the other competitors who are maybe taking time to follow the regulation will create space, which definitely Muthoot Microfin can take over.
So, I mean, in a sense, it could possibly even give you a head start in that.
Yes, absolutely. I think that has been the point in time in previous years also when RBI implemented day-wise recognition of NPAs. While RBI had implemented that in December 2022, the industry was not ready, but the Muthoot Microfin systems were ready and we were able to implement it immediately. And so is the case right now. We are able to implement it. The advantage is that we have our own in-house IT team. We have a strong team of 100 people who have developed our loan management system, loan origination system, and customer app. So for us to implement on the new regulation is a lot more easier as compared to people who are dependent on third party.
Right, sir. And the other question that I wanted to sort of get your thoughts on is, have you ever sort of noticed any, I mean, election-related stress, I guess the kind that we had seen probably in Punjab in the last quarter? I mean, any other incidents or any further incidents which could be a little similar?
Yeah, so I think there is no such election-related stress. In fact, we have seen multiple elections. Every year there is one state or the other has gone through elections, but in the last 4 or 5 years we have not seen any challenge because of election, and that is the case today also. In Punjab, of course, there is a Kisan Andolan along with the election which is going on, which is impacting the industry. In our case, our Punjab exposure is around 1.3% of our total AUM. Our total exposure there is 155 crores, out of which the impact among our customers is only around 20,000 customers out of the total 107,000 customers. These are basically 5 districts around Amritsar which are impacted. So our portfolio that is impacted is around 31 crores. And out of that, we have already proactively taken a write-off of 12 crores. So the impact is to the extent of 19 crore, which is not very significant in our scheme of things.
Understood. Understood. And so lastly, just wanted to touch upon the return ratios. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, we had seen a slight dip. So would that be mostly attributable to the impact of the fundraise that had actually taken place? I mean, that playing out?
Yeah, if you compare last quarter of financial year 23 with this, because in 23 we had loaded the credit cost in December quarter, that's why there would be an impact on quarter on quarter. But if you look at an annual basis, definitely there is a significant improvement. Credit cost has reduced from last financial year of 3% to 1.7%. So that is a significant improvement, and we believe that will continue to be, even though we have taken an accelerated write-off in Punjab. Still, the credit cost is well within our budget. We believe that this can further improve, and already we are seeing a trend in Punjab. The collections have started to come in, and the credit cost will rationalize further. Our write-offs and also the credit cost is significantly lesser, even though we have grown by 30%. So definitely, if you look at return metrics year to year, it has improved significantly.
Right, right. So I guess that's it for me now. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Astor.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anant Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, what is the average ticket size for the loans disbursed in this quarter and the average ticket size for the entire portfolio?
So average ticket size for the entire portfolio is around 57,000. And for the quarter, the loan disbursement average ticket size is around 62,000 rupees.
Okay, sir. So that, I mean, it appears that it has increased drastically over the last few quarters. Is there any reason?
Not really. The increase is around 10% in terms of our ticket size, and that is a calibrated increase based on our scorecard, where we see that the customer is at low risk or very low risk. That is where we increase the ticket size, because that's the whole philosophy of increasing the wallet share with the low risk customers. Otherwise, if you look at our growth is actually coming from acquisition of more customers and expansion of distribution network. So the ticket size increases to the extent of 10%.
Okay. And sir, what is the maximum loan amount that we sanction for the lowest risk customer?
In a group loan model, the maximum loan amount that we give is around 80,000 rupees. Any customer who is worthy of additional loan, we have products which are on the individual loan platform, which is Prayas Loan, which is in tie-up with SIDBI. There we give up to around 3 lakh rupees. an average ticket size there would be around 1.25 lakh. But that constitutes around 3% of our portfolio right now.
Okay, so the Prayas loan has to be a graduate from our joint group thing, or it can be a new to Muthoot customer as well?
Yeah, it has to be a graduate. So the idea of Prayas loan or the Muthoot Enterprise loan or MSDB loan is to retain our customers, good customers who have been with us for last 3-4 years and they have grown and they are now capable to borrow on an individual capacity. So those are the customers, instead of losing them to any public sector bank or private sector bank, we ensure that we continue to earn revenue from them through Prayas loans or Muthoot Enterprise loan.
Okay. So my second question is around, there were some concerns that the regulator had flagged regarding insurance being bundled along with loans. So I remember in the last con call you had mentioned that we do some kind of a natural calamity insurance and we also have a credit shield insurance. So, I mean, is this compulsory for the customer to buy?
No, I think that is where I say that Muthoot Microfin is head and shoulders above in terms of compliance. So our medical insurance as well as NatCat insurance is voluntarily. We definitely educate our customers that what are the benefits of that. So if you look at the Credit Shield product, which is the life insurance product, the penetration is almost 100%. For NatCat, the penetration is around 80%, and for medical insurance, it's around 40% attachment. So that is where we are looking at. We provide the opportunity for the customer to select which insurance they want to take and which insurance they don't want to take, and based on that, we provide that service.
So do our interest rates vary in case they choose to go ahead with the insurance or they don't choose to go ahead with the insurance?
No. Our interest rate only are dependent upon the risk profile of the customers, which is basically we identify areas, geographies where we see that in that geography the credit cost may be higher than what is expected on the other geographies. There we might charge a processing fee higher. Otherwise, like in the geographies where our credit cost is lower, we give the benefit of lower processing fee.
Okay. And for one final question, what are the different kind of repayment models that we are following, and do we have a preference of one over the other, like monthly, weekly, fortnightly?
I think Udish can answer this. Udish, you're on the call.
Yeah, so currently we have two models, weekly and monthly. This is based on the geographies, and at the time of branch survey itself, we will try to understand the customer profile and the cash flow of those particular location, and we will decide and we will also check with the customers at the time of survey which frequency they prefer, and we decide whether the branch should be on weekly or monthly. If you look at overall our portfolio, almost 70% of the branches are in monthly and 30% of branches are in weekly.
Yeah, and just to add to what COO has said, are depending upon the repayment frequencies on the cash flow of the customer. So if like customer is on a milk belt like Karnataka, or he's into fishing business in Kerala coastal area where the cash flows are more daily, the repayment frequency would be weekly. If the customer is into some sort of an agri business where the cash flow is more elongated, there the frequency would be monthly.
Okay. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saumil Shah from Paras Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations. So my question is in terms of your AUM growth. I mean, for FY24, we were at about 32% growth, and now we are guiding for 25% for FY25. So any reason for reducing our guidance for FY25?
No, thanks for asking that question, Paras. So we are saying in excess of 25%. We definitely are confident of achieving the growth rate that we have achieved. CAGR growing at a 39% for the last 3 years. If we look at even what we have projected, we will continue to grow at a CAGR level for last 3 years in excess of 30%. What we have projected is considering that there are elections in the first quarter, and these are long elections. They are going to continue till 4th of June. The results are there, so almost the first quarter gets affected. It's not because of it impacts the collection, but disbursements and gathering of people and all of that has restrictions during this period. So we have projected a reasonable number, but what we are guiding is in excess of 25% growth. That is what we'll achieve.
Okay, so these are basically conservative numbers. I mean, we'll try to achieve much higher than that.
Yes, you can say that.
Yeah. And sir, in terms of our NPA numbers, we are lowest amongst the industry, because I mean current GNPA is 2.29 and net is 0.35. So what would be our target for FY25? Can we stay at similar levels or any steady state numbers which you can quantify?
Yeah, so I think GNPA will definitely reduce if the entire there is no any event that we witnessed during this financial year. The GNPA will definitely reduce. Even the credit cost for this financial year is in line with our projection of 1.7%. We believe that the credit cost will remain in the same range or lower, around 1.7 or lower. Till the last quarter, it was around 1.4, but because of Punjab, we have taken some accelerated write-off. So that's why the credit cost has come to what we have projected. But overall, our experience is good. So GNPA will definitely reduce. I think it should be 200 bps or lower in the coming financial year.
Okay. Okay. And for net also, can we assume lower than 0.5?
Currently, it's 0.35. We will definitely continue to ensure that we have robust provision coverage. And they would be in that range or lower. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And sir, my final question, sir, if we see our cost to income, it is consistently coming down, I think from around 64-65% in FY22 to 45% in FY24. So any ballpark number for FY25, are we looking to further reduce this?
Yes, definitely. I think we are consistently improving our operations. So we have used a lot of technology for rationalizing a lot of costs. The most important aspect is that our investment in the expansion of branches. So this year, we have already done 111 branches for the current financial year, which is done last financial year. So additional another 120 odd branches, 125 branches would be added. But that average outstanding per branch, which is currently around 8.1 crores, will go to around 9 crores. So that will definitely give us much more kind of efficiencies and leverage on our infrastructure. So cost to income ratio will continue to improve.
Okay, okay. And so are we doing any gold loans in this our business?
Yeah, we do offer gold loans to our customers wherever they need it. It is available in all the states. But we have a very small portfolio for that. That is a product that we offer for anybody who needs an emergency loan. The nature of the business is that it turns quite fast. The portfolio right now is around 60 crore. Odish, can you add that on that?
Yeah, so we have a gold loan also as a product line, which is customer can walk into any of the Muthoot Fincorp and take this product. We have a service level agreement with Muthoot Fincorp for that. So as Sudhakar said, the portfolio turns very quickly in gold loan. We did around 220 crores of disbursement in that portfolio, but outstanding is somewhere around 15 crores. So that's where on the gold loan. But apart from that, for an individual loan also, we do a product called Muthoot Small and Growing Business Loan, which partially backed with gold jewelry as well. So we have these two products for the customers.
Okay, but the base is too small, because if I'm not wrong, we have a different company, Muthoot Fincorp, I mean, yeah, for gold loan. So that is not a listed company, right?
Yeah, that's not a listed company. That is a parent company for our group. So that is the holding company for us. They are purely into gold loans and LAP.
Okay. So any particular reason? I mean, gold loan is another company. Then I think we have one more vehicle finance company, and now this is a microfinance company. So any particular reason all these three companies with different set of businesses?
Yeah, so all of these businesses require specified kind of an underwriting and the portfolio mix, especially at the license level also there is a requirement. So for microfinance business, there has to be a NBFC, NFI category of company. So that is what Muthoot Microfin is. Gold finance is a core business and it has its own nuances. So secured gold loan and all the secured businesses in one entity. Then vehicle finance has its own distribution network, so vehicle finance is in other entity, and then we have a housing finance company also, affordable housing, that's a separate entity. So microfinance and housing finance are subsidiary of FinCorp, essentially because it is driven because of the licensing requirement, but the advantage here is for the customer is that for them, they see only Muthoot, that is Muthoot Papachan Group, the Blue Muthoot. And we offer a life cycle need product to our customers. So a customer who's coming in microfinance, if she wants to take a gold loan also, we provide through FinCorp or our book. If they want a two-wheeler loan, we provide through Muthoot Capital Services. If they want to take an affordable loan, housing loan, we provide through Muthoot Housing Finance. So the catering of the services happens through Microfin for the customer that we originate.
Okay, okay. I mean, just for my understanding, wouldn't it be better if we have consolidation, I mean, all companies under one roof?
I think all of these companies are at a different life cycle stage in terms of growth. So at an appropriate time, I think there would be a thought around that. But at the moment, I think all of the businesses individually are doing quite well.
Okay. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on good set of numbers and thank you for the opportunity. My question is on the co-lending side of the business. I just wanted to know what percentage of our total lending as of now stands towards co-lending. I mean, if you could give a proportion. And second part of co-lending is what is the ratio of co-lending usually? 80-20, 70-30? How is it for us?
Yeah, Praveen, you
want to
take this?
Yeah, I can take it. Yeah, so currently the co-lending we have initiated with various banks, we have started discussion. Currently we have only 2% of our portfolio through co-lending model. But because we need the all-in-all integration with the system of bank, it will take some time to run up. So we have done the initial pilot and it is becoming very successful. And we are looking to add more tie-ups going forward. So it's on the initial phase, but we have currently tie-up with Axis Bank, which is running fine now. And we are adding some couple of public sector banks also into this tie-up. And we are looking to increase this proportion going forward.
Is there a number in mind? Sorry, please.
So with respect to the split, yeah, you are right, the regulatory requirement is 80-20, but because if you fix at 80-20, when the split happens, even if there is a small difference, the regulatory backlash can come in. So what we are trying to do is that we are doing it 75-25 with one player. With another player, we are trying to do 70-30 so that we have a slightly larger portion where we can ensure that the overall return remains to the company in similar to what we earn in an on balance sheet transaction.
Okay, so what is the spread that is there as of now? I mean, in co-lending?
As of now, co-lending, it's in the range of 10.5 to 11.5% spread that we earn at an overall level portfolio.
Yeah, I think to add to that, you would have to look at from two aspects. One is the spread, the second is the credit cost and the provisioning that is not required. So if you add that to this, so overall spread matches the spread that we have for our on balance sheet portfolio.
The credit cost is not there for the portion which bank takes into their kitty. So that will save us in terms of that. So the overall return will match to what we carry on a balance sheet.
Okay, okay. And what is the percentage that we are, I mean, do we have any internal estimate as to say 3 years down the line, what would be our co-lending as a percentage of total portfolio?
So, if we, see, our long-term strategy is that we will continue to increase our share in the co-lending as well as the other products. So, as of now, if you look at it is around 94% income-generating loan and 6% other products. This will go in the long run to around 15% in the other product and 85% on the income generating loan, and that is medium term, and long run it will be 75-25. Out of this 25, in the long run, co-lending would be in the range of 5-7%. That is what we strategize.
Okay, sir. So just last question from my side. What would be the steady state ROA that we are looking at?
See, we can easily achieve an ROA of 4.5%, and that has been the record for our operations also prior to COVID. We guide towards around 4.5% of ROA for the long run.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side, and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Sanidhya from Unicorn Assets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So I have just one follow-up on co-lending part. So what is the current proportion of co-lending of the entire AUM that we have?
Praveen?
So currently 2%, slightly under 2% at the overall AUM level. And we, like we highlighted, this was the initial pilot that we have started doing mainly in, towards the end of Q3 and Q4 last financial year. And this is only one partner, and we are planning to add more partners going forward. The discussions and integrations are going on. So like we mentioned, it will go to like 5-7% in the medium term.
Yeah, so exactly on this point I was coming. So what is the growth rate that we are expecting? Like what would be the total percentage of AUM for like next year or 2 years down the line for the co-lending part?
In the long run, we said 5-7%. In the immediate terms, if you look at till currently it's 2, it might go to around 3-4%. But in the long run, we want to maintain 5-7% in co-lending, and then other products that we will offer from our own balance sheet.
Okay, and how are we expecting the numbers from that side, like the net interest margins or the credit costs in that segment, like co-lending part? Is it better than our in-house book, or is it like in line with the same?
So I think both have to looked at in conjunction, because if you look at our yield on the portfolio and the NIM is currently around 12.7%, whereas co-lending the net margin would be 10.5-11%. But at the same time, in the co-lending on the 70% portion, which is with the bank, there is no credit cost. So if you add that to the NIM, that it comes in the same compatible kind of a range around 12.25% versus 12.7 on book. So that is the kind of difference. The strategy there on co-lending is to help those customers who are graduating to a higher ticket to continue to serve them. So that is what we do in co-lending. Otherwise, the customers who are still falling within the microfinance guideline of RBI, they continue to be on our book.
Okay, so just to announce, like we are expecting like 4-5% or 7% in the coming 2-3 years. So that would be constituting a large part of the new AUM growth, right? So are we seeing any slowdown in our own book AUM growth, or are we just doing the new book to be the highlighted growth?
No. The growth on the on-book portfolio will continue. Our strategy has always been to continue to grow our book. In fact, the growth in our portfolio would be larger. Co-lending is dependent upon the partner's appetite also. So it'll continue to grow steadily, but a growth in our portfolio would be much better.
And as per from what you said, so the ticket size would be higher for the off-book, right?
Yes, that is the customer that we are choosing to do co-lending for.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what would be the average ticket size here? More than 2-3 lakhs or in the range?
So it depends upon the partner's credit policy. For example, SIDBI, where we are doing a Prayas loan, the average ticket size is around 1.25 lakh. For Axis Bank, where we are doing co-lending, their ticket size is around 65,000 rupees.
Okay, so this would be the range, not more than 2 lakhs. We are not looking at that, right?
No, not at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjeev Damani from SKD Consulting. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Namaskar. Sir, I'm very new to the financial world, so my basic question is that our cost of credit is 2-point-some%. So, I mean, that is the net cost of our borrowing or something like that, sir? Can you kindly explain?
Sir, that is the GNPA, 2.29%. Our credit cost is around 1.7% for the full financial year. Borrowing cost for us is incrementally around 10.39%. So this is a credit loss provision, and the credit cost that is their write-off, that is their 1.7% includes that. The borrowing cost completely independent to that, which is incrementally around 10.39%.
Thank you for some explanation. Now I am getting some to you. So cost of credit is not the cost of our borrowed funds. It is some other phrase that is being used other than cost of borrowing. Thank you for the clarification. Sir, I did not notice whether the company declared the dividend for this year or not. Can I know from you kindly?
No, sir. As of now, we have a policy of not declaring dividend because the company is in the growth phase. So we are using the capital and the profits that we are churning for helping in growth. I think that is going to continue to give more value to the investor in terms of the share price and the improvement in the overall metrics of the performance of the company.
Okay. So perhaps the dividend may or may not be declared for next 2, 3, 4 years?
I don't want to comment on that right now, but as of now, the policy that we are following is to use that capital to grow.
Okay, agree, sir. And one more thing, sir, that are we purely into microfinance, or can we also get into gold financing, housing finance, and all other things?
So this Muthoot Microfinance is focused on microfinance. But we leverage on our branch network and the group network to offer products like gold finance, products like two-wheeler finance and housing finance to our customer. But the core of this business will continue to remain microfinance. We are an NBFC MFI company, and that is what we will continue to do.
Okay. So, I mean, we are licensed to operate as housing finance and consumer finance company also. Or we have to seek some more licenses to start those businesses?
So housing finance, there is a separate license that is required. There is a group company which is into housing finance business. Muthoot Microfinance is not intending to be in housing finance business. So we will continue to be an NBFC MFI.
Okay, sir. And you see enough potential to still grow in this area of microfinancing as you are entering Telangana, as you are entering Andhra Pradesh and some other states. So So can I know from you that how many states we are already present today, and in addition to Andhra and Telangana, how much more we want to add in this year?
Yeah, so we are already there in 19 states. We will enter into 20th state, that is Andhra Pradesh, this year. And in terms of our growth, the growth will come from deeper penetration into the states that we have entered already, and also to retain our customer and increase our wallet share among those customers. We feel that the distribution network, we have covered all the key states. We will open more states based on the market survey that we do. We will decide to add to other states. But at the moment, we will be focused on these states that we have identified.
Despite, sir, larger disbursement, our NPA ratios, GNPA and net NPA have grown slightly, maybe slightly, but they have gone beyond, despite better collection efficiency and all. Kindly comment on it, sir.
Sir, GNPA has reduced. Last year the GNPA was 2.97. This year the GNPA is 2.29%. And our net NPA also has reduced. It was around 0.6% last time. It is 0.35% this year. So both have reduced. Our credit cost has reduced significantly. From 3%, it has come down to 1.7%. So the portfolio quality has improved very much.
Okay, thank you very much and all the best, sir. And thank you, very kind of you to have given me understanding. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. In the interest of time, that will be the last question. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Misri for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Thank you all for joining the call today. And thank you to the management team of Muthoot Microfin for giving us this opportunity to host the call.
On behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.